Welcome to the Mentors Project podcast, covering mentorship, books, and more. In this podcast, we interview the authors of a new series of books where we meet the men and women who mentored Western civilization. This is Dr. Roseanne Welch. For more information, visit mentorsproject.org. Our guest today is Patrick Verone, author of Ride into the Sun, a novel based on the life of Scipio Africanus, the Roman general often regarded as one of the greatest military strategists of all time. Having defeated Hannibal during the Second Punic War, Scipio also conquered Carthaginian Iberia, which is part of modern-day Spain. Thank you for joining us today, Patrick.
Thank you for having me.
Yay! I want to start with the question I always start with, which is, why does Scipio Africanus matter to us today?
I think he matters to us today because when we're thinking about historical figures, I think it's always interesting to think about the fact that for them, history was not what we know it to be. And I think Scipio really lived in this time when he really did not see the Rome that we know Rome became, where it was this huge empire that stretched across the world. And he was really a pivotal figure in making that version of Rome that would eventually become the Roman Empire that became famous. So I think that he's one historical figure whose name we don't really know, but he really influenced the trajectory of the Roman Republic and eventually the Roman Empire.
Well, that's fascinating. And it's interesting because essentially you're defining him as one of the founding fathers of Rome, as in the founding fathers of the United States.
Yes, and he really took this role of, not only was he a great general, but he was also a politician, he was a consulate. A lot of the work that he did after defeating Hannibal was involved in building up Rome as a state as well.
So that's fascinating to me because we wonder how a person in that period could have been prepared for that kind of work. And that, to me, always lends to, what do you think in his childhood influenced him to become the man he was when he grew up?
Well, he grew up in a Rome that was at war. His father and his uncle and really his entire family were fighting in the First Punic War. So he grew up with that to look up to. And a large part of the book is his relationship with his father and the ways in which the two of them had this vision of what Rome could be and the way that Scipio eventually sort of took that vision and brought it to fruition.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's very much reminiscent again of a World War I father with a World War II son and that sort of thing.
Yes, yes, very similar.
Interesting. And of course, no one really gets around to teaching the Punic Wars in America anymore. We barely kind of blip over those periods. So what kind of was the gist of that? Can you give us a quick rundown of why the Second Punic War was important?
I think the thing that sticks out to a lot of us, at least it did to me in history class, was Hannibal, who was the Carthaginian general who brought elephants over the Alps into Italy. That's kind of his claim to fame. Scipio was the one who was fighting against Hannibal and eventually defeated him in Carthage. And so it was this ongoing fight between the growing Carthaginian Empire across the Mediterranean Sea and Rome, which at that point hadn't really expanded that far. That defeat of Hannibal was the first foray into the outer world that Rome took, and then eventually it grew much, much larger.
So what about him made him capable of beating such a general of such renown as Hannibal?
I think one of the things that I found really interesting about him in writing the book and that I wanted to focus on in the book is how much of a dreamer he was. He really saw this vision of what his country could be and then used his status as the son of a very famous general, used the advisors that he collected around him, but also used a lot of intuition and a lot of commitment to that vision that he had to drive it forward.
So that makes him a very inspirational figure.
Yes.
There are things to be learned even if we don't have to learn how to be generals.
Yes, exactly.
That's so fun. What were perhaps other relationships in his life that were influential in some way that kind of fueled him forward?
I think one of the most influential relationships in his life was his friend Gaius Laelius, who is actually the person that the book is from the perspective of. They met sort of during his first campaign into the Punic Wars, and the two of them became fast friends. And Laelius was really his right-hand man throughout his entire military career. So that was definitely a relationship where they were both very close. They both advised one another. Laelius was a little bit older than Scipio. So while he looked up to Scipio, he also had a little bit of wisdom that he could pass on to him too. He also had a wife, Aemilia, who was very influential in Roman society. She hosted a lot of what we would sort of call salons, where she would gather other noble women together, and didn't really have the ability to be a political figure, but in her own way was able to influence the Roman society. That was something that I really wanted to focus on as well.
That sounds, of course, very fascinating to me. Again, it mirrors many of the early first ladies who did work in the name of their husbands when they weren't really supposed to be doing any work at all.
Yes, exactly. Yes. She did have a certain amount of independence. A lot of Roman women did, as a lot of throughout history women do when their husbands are at war. So there was this certain amount of independence that she was able to exercise in Roman society.
That's fascinating. Makes me think I want a book about her as well.
Yes, that'd be great.
That's so fun. Because these are works of historical fiction, and we do as much research as possible, of course, one of my favorite questions becomes, what was the favorite find you made in the course of your research? A thing that wouldn't have appeared in a textbook, an interesting fact that you wanted to make sure you included?
One of the interesting finds that I found while researching this book is, while there was this war going on, there was also this interesting sort of religious tension happening in Rome, where this group of sort of East Asian and Middle Eastern people were moving into Rome. They were known as the Galli, and they worshipped this goddess. And there was a little tension between them and the sort of canon of Roman gods and goddesses that we know. And so I thought it might be interesting to include some of that tension inside the book. And so I had one of the Galli actually befriend Scipio and sort of become one of his advisors. Because while Scipio definitely would have believed in gods like Neptune and Zeus, and he evokes them when he's trying to encourage his men, the sense that I got from researching him is that he would have been this sort of open-minded person and someone who looked at Rome as a country that could include a lot of different faiths, a lot of different kinds of people. I thought it might be interesting to kind of bring in that little piece that you might not otherwise find if you're just studying the Punic War or something like that.
Those are the beautiful things that happen in a piece of historical fiction. You're telling the person's story, but you're also giving us this more in-depth look at what were their times, the times they lived in.
One of the reasons why I love historical fiction so much is that you get to think about things like, what did they eat and what did they wear and what did their houses look like that you don't necessarily get out of a textbook.
Exactly. And in many ways, that teaches people and gives them more of an understanding and an empathy with people from the past.
I agree.
How fun. Well, this leads me to this business of researching, leads me to, again, being a historical fiction. What scene did you have to create that you enjoyed creating in order to bring in some aspects that, of course, we don't have any proof of a discussion here or a conversation there?
I had a lot of the book take place in Scipio's house, which would have historically happened, but we don't really have very specific details about, for instance, what their house looked like. So I did some research into what a typical sort of noble Roman consul's house might look like. But I also added in a couple little details that I have no idea if they were there, but I like to think they might be. I put in a statue of Vesta, who was the goddess of the hearth, and she kind of came to symbolize the god's watchful eye over the home and over all of the military planning that was happening in the home. And I also put in this really lush garden. And I liked the idea that because for years now, Scipio's father and his uncle would have been traveling across the world on these wars, maybe they brought back some seeds or some flowers or something from Spain or from abroad that they could bring back and plant in this garden. So that was sort of a fun set dressing that was that I was able to do in the book, was create this garden that I have no idea if the Scipios had this international garden, but I like to think they did.
Well, we know that Rome itself, in the same way that the Columbian Exchange brought many things from the Americas to Europe and vice versa, clearly that happened in Rome all the time. They speak often in history books about what was brought back and how they took the best of other places and they hopefully brought the best of Rome, although not always, but definitely that exchange would have existed. And people did rely on gardens for many reasons. So I think that's a great, I wouldn't say gimmick, but that's a great invention.
Yeah, it was sort of my way to hint at that, exchange that would have been going on, definitely.
Great. And you also intrigued me with the concept that you've chosen to tell the book not through Scipio's eyes, but through his basically right-hand man. Why'd you make that choice, and how did that help you in getting a real picture of him, as real a picture of him as you could, out into your book?
When I started doing research for this book, it was interesting because I ran into the issue of him being a little too perfect. He didn't really have that many conflicts in his life or really in his military career because he just kept winning battles and eventually defeated the largest general at the time. So I couldn't make the book from his perspective because I had no idea what he would have been thinking if he was just succeeding the entire time.
There's no journey there.
Right, exactly. So I wanted to make it from Lilius's point of view so that he could sort of have a perspective on Scipio, and Scipio could maybe hide some of his planning, hide some of the things that he had up his sleeve, so that it could surprise the reader in the same way that it would have surprised Lilius.
That sounds almost like the way one plots a screenplay.
Yes.
Oh, that's fascinating. So, of course, I'd like to ask people, what in your own background gave you a connection to this story, right? Did you study Latin in high school? Did you study military history, Roman history? What brought you to be able to connect up with this character?
It's funny because I've always been a very big fan of historical fiction, but I've never really been a fan of the history of war. So in approaching a book about a Roman general, I was really sort of like, how am I going to enjoy this process of writing it? And then very early on, I just asked myself, like, what kind of a book would I want to read about this person? So I brought in things that I enjoyed, like Roman mythology, like the textures of these different places that he would have been visiting, and the different relationships that he had with all of his advisors, with his wife, with his father. Even though I really don't consider myself someone who's very interested in war or the history of war, it became this thing that I really did enjoy writing, because he is a really interesting historical figure.
I love that. And we learn about people, the more we research them, we learn more about their life and times and come with more of an appreciation of what they went through and what they created. And of course, a book on war isn't pro-war so much as giving a real story, like All Quiet on the Western Front, that reminds us why we're trying to avoid those things.
Yes, exactly. And even though his campaigns were ultimately successful and he was very proud of his accomplishments, it wasn't that he was constantly focused on fighting or focused on war, because once he defeated Hannibal, he was really sort of done with his military career and he transitioned into a more political career. And something interesting that I found while researching him is that he actually kept correspondence with Hannibal after his defeat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Hannibal wasn't killed when he was defeated. He was taken as a prisoner of war and I believe sort of set up on a Italian island. But Scipio really appreciated different generals' expertise and experience. So even though they were rivals, he did have sort of appreciation for Hannibal in the end.
Again, I'm getting all these parallels, but that's kind of Grant and Lee in their own way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You recognize the work and you're just sorry the guy was on the other side.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So one of my things that I'm always interested in from a writing standpoint is whether you found in his life a sort of a theme that ran through it, or whether, in fact, you had to create one that was what you had as the spine of your story. So what would be the theme or the message you think of his life?
I think that faith, not in terms of religious faith, but in terms of believing in a purpose and a cause, was something that seemed very integral to his person. And I don't know if that was something I just sort of read into as I was doing the research and latched onto, or if that was true to life. But everything he did with a conviction that I thought showed how much he believed in Rome as a country and as an idea and the Republic. So I think that commitment to that idea was something that I liked to highlight in the book.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's really what we look to heroes or mentors to do for us, is to give us
a
purpose. Exactly. Which, of course, brings me to the fact that the Mentors Project is all about mentorship. So in my last set of questions, I'd like to ask, first of all, who do you think were his mentors, both in personal life and in his military life?
One of his biggest mentors was definitely his father, both in his personal life and in his military career, because he was himself a very celebrated Roman general in the First Punic War. Scipio definitely looked up to his father. He depended on his father for a lot of things. So that was a relationship that was really important to me to talk about in the book. And I think another of his mentors, who was sort of a horizontal mentor, was definitely Laelius. Even though Laelius was a little bit older, they were really peers and they kind of mentored each other, because Laelius didn't come from the same upper class that Scipio would have. So there was a certain amount of fraternal advice that they gave to each other. And so I think that Laelius was definitely a mentor of Scipio's.
And you're almost saying that's vice versa, that then if Scipio is mentoring someone, it's Laelius, and is there anyone else?
Actually, yes. Scipio was definitely a mentor to his sons, one of whom became an even more celebrated politician than he did when he was old enough. So Scipio kind of passed down the same ideas to his son about Rome and about the potential that Rome had as a capital and as a republic. So he in turn mentored his son in the same way that his father mentored him.
So his son also then became a politician?
Yes.
So my final question is always, I think, one of the most interesting, which is simply, who would you declare are your mentors in life?
I think this is sort of an expected answer, but my parents were huge mentors for me. They still are. My dad was a huge help in writing this book in particular, because he was some of the first eyes that I had on the rough draft when I was writing it. He really helped me in thinking through this project in particular, and he continues to inspire me and encourage me. And my mom was one of the first people to get me really interested in historical fiction and in writing and in reading books. So they're both huge mentors. And also, I've had a lot of teachers who have seen in me an interest or fascination that I don't even know that I had, or that maybe I didn't have the confidence to pursue. And so I've had a lot of teachers who have been really influential mentors.
That's a wonderful response. We're all about teachers.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to having more people involved in hearing about the life of Scipio Africanus.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Mentors Podcast, sponsored by the Barbera Foundation, whose mission is to promote positive change by inspiring others to engage in their community. Your host has been Dr. Roseanne Welch. Our music was composed by Patrick Abate, technical direction by Douglas E. Welch, and Kathleen Childress designed our website. For more information and to read more about the great mentors in history, visit mentorsproject.org and join us for our next conversation.